I want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank the Lieutenant Governor for being here. He's been very involved in this process, both of what we're doing here in the General Assembly, as well as the case down in Stoddard County, which is running on a parallel track with what we're doing here. You know, the one thing I said last week, there's only one constant in this investigation really for the last month and a half, and that is things that people tell you are true one day, you find out aren't true the next day. And so one thing that we found out today in going through some of these documents is that before the Department of Revenue turned over the entire list of concealed carry holders in the state of Missouri in January, they knew the request was a joint request from the ATF and from Social Security. We found that out today through some internal documents. We were never told that last week when it took over 90 minutes of questioning to actually get them to admit that a list had been produced. So there is a magical database. It's been paid for by taxpayers. It was created by the state, and we turned the keys over to the federal government. The fact that the entire list of concealed carry holders was produced by Revenue, knowing that that was a joint request by not only Social Security, but by the Division of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, this isn't a backdoor gun list. This is a front door gun list. This is taking the entire list of Missouri concealed carry firearms owners and giving that to the ATF. It is a direct assault on Missourians' Second Amendment rights and our rights under Article 1, Section 23 of the Missouri Constitution. And again, now we find out after being told nothing happened, then a little bit happened, we now find out through these documents that quite a bit more happened than they told us. We also found out that when the information was produced, we were told that it was encrypted. Apparently, it was just on an Excel protected, password protected file, and the actual password was on a piece of paper in the package with the disks. So the question here is, who is the gatekeeper of Missourians' private information? And again, not only when it comes to their Second Amendment rights, but all the additional information that Revenue is not requiring. It's apparent in this administration, no one is the gatekeeper. And not only are they negligent in being the gatekeeper, they are affirmatively producing these lists and providing them to outside entities in direct violation of state law. So as we move forward, now we have new avenues that we need to pursue because, again, we have to find these things out on our own because we have numerous state agencies that are not forthcoming with us. But now it is more apparent than ever that procedures are needed to make sure that Missourians' privacy rights, both in concealed carry and their other rights as well, and the information they're required to give up, are protected.
The state law appears to, the concealed carry law, appears to allow the sharing of that information within the law enforcement community. Aren't the two agencies you named within the law enforcement community, and therefore there really was no violation of state law?
What we allow now is concealed carry goes into the mule system. So law enforcement, for example, and it makes sense. If law enforcement is going to pull you over on an individual basis when they're pulling up your information and they know who they're about to stop, they want to know if that person's a concealed carry holder. That makes sense. That's why we have structured the law to allow that. And we allow law enforcement, such as the Highway Patrol and others, to do a search on an individual basis because you have officer safety issues, for example, when they stop somebody. What we do not allow, and the law does not provide for, is the sharing in mass of the entire list to be profiled. It's why, even though these entities may call themselves law enforcement entities, they could not do it on their own. They had to go to Revenue because only the Department of Revenue could do a search and compile the list the way they compiled it. And they're compiling this list and producing it for whatever purpose is wrong.
So does the governor's announcement today that they're not going to record this information anymore give you any satisfaction?
You know, that makes no difference on them producing this list. But I think in the scheme of the argument that Revenue is now changing their policy to capture more information from Missourians, copy it and keep it, I think at least that the governor recognizes that some portion of that probably shouldn't be kept and maintained is a start. It doesn't address all the other things, your mortgage documents, your marriage license, all the other things that Revenue now requires you to bring in that they not only review, but they scan and keep, creating a much greater risk of identity theft for all Missourians who get a Missouri driver's license or a non-ID card. It doesn't fix that problem. All I know at this point is it appears from the internal documents that the Department of Revenue, before they produced the information, knew that it was a joint request from both.
And are you at all surprised that Congressman Lukemeyer, when he was being told things by Social Security Office of Inspector General, didn't seem to have been made aware that the ATF had a role in this.
You know, I can't speak for what was told to Congressman Lukemeyer, but I do know from our perspective here in the Missouri General Assembly, if the federal government isn't going to protect Missourians' privacy rights and state agencies aren't, then we are going to be the end of the line. We're going to be the brick wall here in the Missouri legislature and make sure the flow of that information stops.
The governor just told us downstairs that this is a minor issue that's being used to distract attention from the Medicaid issue. What's your take on that?
I think if the governor thinks that it is a minor issue, that the entire list of concealed carry holders in the state of Missouri apparently was copied by his Department of Revenue and given to the ATF for whatever reason, we don't even really know yet, I'd say that is a gross misunderstanding of the concerns of the public on behalf of the governor.
The ATF is a law enforcement agency. Aren't they on our side?
You know, there's probably no doubt at some point on individual investigations it may be appropriate. But profiling for any reason, whether it's the ATF or any other entity. But this begs the question of why on earth does the ATF want the entire list of concealed carry holders in the state of Missouri, other than to know who is the entire list of gun owners in the state of Missouri. And that is a list of gun owners. Everyone knows it is a very volatile topic. It is something that is a direct affront to people's Second Amendment rights and their rights under Article 1, Section 23 of the Missouri Constitution to bear arms. Just because you exercise that right does not mean that you are giving something up and you're going to agree to be tracked by the federal government. No different than if you want to go to church under the First Amendment, that somehow you should supply a list of everyone who goes to church and where they go to church, and somehow that would be a reasonable thing to give the ATF.
Beyond this one, and maybe you answered this, but beyond this one document and this pile of stuff you got, is there any other confirmation that ATF got this list? Have your staff yet?
That we don't know. You know, when we called Social Security the other day and attempted to ask them some questions, they hung up on us. And we did send him a letter today telling him that we would like them to call us in the next 48 hours and arrange for a time in the coming days to come down and testify in front of our hearing to explain what happened here. I'd say now, after discovering this, we probably need to send a letter to some other folks as well, in addition to Social Security.
Someone from Social Security hung up on your staff?
When my staff tried to call them, yes, they hung up. I have no idea at that office who it was that hung up.
But other than this one memo, at this point, you don't have any other yet confirmation from ATF.
That's correct. We intend to follow up on that. My biggest concern is revenue knew, apparently, before they gave this up, where it was going. And again, now we've had a couple weeks' worth of hearings, and we have heard nothing about ATF, anyone knowing that this was going to ATF, until we actually came across it in the documents.
Is this the same CD that went to Social Security, or is this a separate instance?
Well, what it sounds like to me is that this was a joint request, and the disks went out on January 24th or so. The request came in on the 23rd. It went out through the mail. It went out apparently not as encrypted, but just a password-protected Excel file with the password MOCCW, actually on the letter with the disks. It now appears also that this may have been put up on a shared file again in February, which, if that's true, that would be the third time that the list had been produced.
You've mentioned Department of Revenue and all this, but we know that came through the Department of Public Safety, the Highway Patrol, and even in some testimony they've said that the person who compiled the list was an OAIT person.
Right, and that does get a little confusing. The documents that we have to show that there was knowledge that this was both ATF and Social Security are internal documents from the Highway Patrol. By law, revenue is the one that compiles this information and keeps it, and they're the ones who, by law, are supposed to keep it confidential. But in the last few years, there's been a changeover in the computer system, so even though that information is actually within the possession, supposedly legally, of revenue, it is maintained by OAIT. And so what we found out was that the request actually went from the Highway Patrol with the explanation that it was for the ATF and Social Security to OAIT, and then the list was produced.
But if OAIT gets a request from a patrol, is there anything in law that says we can't give it to you? If they get a request from the patrol, don't they have to honor that request?
The patrol's request, remember, still has to be a legal request. And the request that came in from the patrol was, we are seeking this information to give it to these outside entities. And again, this brings back in the DPPA, the Driver's Privacy Protection Act, which requires states who have a Department of Revenue that maintain motor vehicle information to provide certain information that they have to give up that relates to certain issues of motor vehicle registration and things like that. The issue that public safety, we had in the hearing last week, was public safety says, well, the DPPA didn't require us to give up this information. We decided to do it on our own because we believe under the DPPA we have the discretion to do that. I do not believe they have discretion to do that. And when this request came in, the answer should have been, hell no, we're not going to give you the list of concealed carry holders for the entire state of Missouri to profile.
How many pages of 50 boxes of material have you had a chance to get the staff eyes on?
We're still going through the 16. We have not gone through the 34 yet that are still at revenue.
So where are you on the 16?
We're getting fairly far. You know, what we did was, so it didn't was no additional cost to the taxpayers. We actually had our in-house print people were able to scan that, and by box, we got 16 boxes. They were numbered when they came over. They scan those. They put each one in a file, and they're searchable. It's not a very efficient system, and for each single term that we search, it takes about 8 minutes to run that search. So it's going kind of slow. Yes, they did.
Does there need to be a thorough investigation of what the difference MIAC was doing?
Well, I think that's a very good question, because if you look at MIAC, and in fact, you look at the person who actually produced this, they're an information intelligence analyst. And so again, this we highlighted this in the hearing last week, this issue of a legitimate law enforcement investigation, as opposed to basically intelligence gathering, through profiling, those are two separate issues. And I'm a former prosecutor. I worked with the High Patrol on many investigations, including murder cases. I think they do a wonderful job on investigations of criminal activity like that. But when you cross the line over into intelligence gathering, that's something that citizens of the state of Missouri did not agree to when they gave up this private information. I have not heard anything from the Attorney General. I can't speak for him. You'd have to ask him that.
So what's next?
I think we're going to continue to have these hearings and find out, because again, all we know is every time we have a hearing and get information, supposedly to close a chapter on this, we're told one thing and then we find out that in fact something else is the case. So we'll go forward with this and find out if in fact who actually got a hold of this information, why it was given out in such a haphazard and negligent way. And we will move forward with a process to make sure this does not happen again. And if the state of Missouri, through their agencies or through the federal government, will not be the gatekeeper to maintain the public's private information in a protected way, then we're going to do that in the General Assembly.
To the best of your knowledge, does BATF still have that with us?
We don't know yet.
Did the Department of Revenue ever claim that the information was only going to the Social Security Administration?
Well, it came out in the hearing last week. Well, initially there was a claim that it never went out to anybody. And then what we found out after extensive questioning last week in our hearing was, in fact, it did go out to Social Security. There was no mention of ATF, but now through the documents, we see that before Revenue actually produced that information, they knew the request was both from ATF and Social Security.
Are you involved with any discussion? That's a national issue, but Social Security or ATF seeking this info from the state of Missouri. What about other states?
That's a really interesting question. And the one thing that we find out, and remember, what started this whole thing was this kind of new procedure that started under cover of darkness by the Department of Revenue to gather a lot more information on Missourians. Information that they never agreed to give up, we didn't require in the law that they give up, and that creates a much greater threat of identity theft. Well, what came up through that process was, what are you doing with this information and who is getting it? And what we found out was that is the December 12, 2012 checklist that was sent by the Department of Revenue to Janet Napolitano showing compliance with Real ID, that these steps are being implemented because these are things that the federal government is requiring. When you look at states and the status that they're in, there's kind of three different groups. One is a small number of states who have agreed with the federal government they're going to do all those things. It's about 13 states. Then you have the largest group of states, which is in the middle, like Missouri, which is they're complying in some way, but they're not there yet. And then you have a group of states who refuse to even reply to the federal government on their requests on this. Well, I think what you're finding out now is, and this is something that we're starting to hear, a lot of states that moved forward with this process did not know what they were buying in this bargain and getting grant money and other things from the federal government, and now we're starting to look into that. And I would hope that in the state of Missouri we're taking the lead to show the public, not only in the state of Missouri, but in other states as well, this is information that people don't know is being kept. They don't know it creates a greater risk of identity theft for them, and they don't know where it's going because the bureaucrats supposedly who are supposed to comply with the law and control that information clearly are not.
I'm going to back up Kurt's portion here because he's got to get up to the floor in just a second.
I want to thank Lieutenant Governor for being here.
Thank you, Senator, for inviting me. The gentleman who asked the question about the governor, whatever he said to the news media a few minutes ago, let's review. Let's review. The governor for weeks has denied that this is a story. He has denied that this is a serious issue. Are you surprised today that he's trying to divert attention from it to another issue? When is the governor going to start giving us straight answers instead of misleading us himself out of his own mouth and his administration officials misleading the people of this state? The governor has dismissed this. He said there is no database. We know there is a database now. He says we're not sharing it. We know it has been shared repeatedly. Of course you would expect him to dismiss it. Let me say further that last Wednesday, in an effort to dismiss this issue and minimize it, he was in Springfield on another errand, another issue. And reporter Emily Wood from KY3 pressed him on these issues. And he went as far as to falsely claim, "Don't you know, Emily," he said, "that lawsuit in the boot heel, the judge dismissed it." The judge did not dismiss it. The lawsuit goes on. It's in the discovery stage. There was a denial of the motion by the plaintiff to make the temporary restraining order a permanent injunction. But even that, thanks to Senator Schaefer's revelations, is now being revisited. The lawsuit continues, contrary to the governor's false claim. So he has misled and misled and misled you, and you ought to be up in arms about that.
For either one of you, the governor also said when we asked him that he was going to have that database destroyed, and what about the other documents aside from concealed carry? His comment was he's leaving that up to the Department of Revenue. Are you satisfied with that answer?
You know, I remember when we had the MAMTEC investigation, and the governor said that he didn't run the Department of Economic Development. That's an absurd statement. He appoints the director, and it's an executive agency directly under the governor. The governor is responsible directly for what happens at the Department of Revenue, including the Department of Motor Vehicles. And so at some point, the governor is going to have to step up to the plate. He's going to have to be frank with Missourians about what's being done with their personal information and say whether or not he thinks this new policy of keeping personal information and sharing it with outside sources in violation of state law is a good thing or a bad thing. I honestly don't know how much longer he can go on not answering this question.
Have you been in contact today or yesterday about with anybody in Congress from the Missouri delegation about how they might move forward to help you and the Senate legislature understand what's going on the federal side?
I have not. I did talk to Representative Lukemeyer the other day very briefly. And it is interesting that what we now know appears to contradict what he was told. And I would leave that issue up to him on his side. All I know is if state agencies aren't going to protect the public and the federal government isn't going to protect the public, we in the General Assembly are going to do everything we can to make sure the public is protected.
Have you asked the Inspector General's office to produce this investigator for your committee?
Kerman, I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Have you asked the Inspector General's office at SSA to produce this investigator?
Sent that letter today, yes. Uh-huh.
Have they responded?
No, we asked them if they would please get back to us within 48 hours. We would work with them on their schedule to find a time for them to come in. I would like for both the investigator and the supervisor to come in.
Now, I do know that ATF is involved. Do you want to depose people from ATF?
I suspect we are going to have to find out who at ATF got this information and what they did with it. Because remember, we had representations made to us by Revenue and the Highway Patrol that even though they produced this information and really don't know what happened to it once it went out, other than some representations that were made to them that appear now to be false, that it didn't go anywhere or that it was destroyed. The idea of this being some kind of investigation and those disks were destroyed is absurd. I'm a former prosecutor. When you gather information for anything that you're investigating, you don't destroy the evidence, because ultimately if something comes from your investigation, you have to have the evidence that you use to form it. Because a defendant ultimately gets to come in on a suppression hearing in court, ask for all that information, and it's a violation of U.S. v. Brady if a prosecutor cannot produce it. So that's patently absurd that this is a criminal investigation and that somehow that it was just destroyed when they decided they didn't want it.
That's it.
All right. Thank you, everybody.